Good evening. It's good to be here, and it's good to have the opportunity we have to be together tonight. I guess if you have taken a sneak peek, you see we're looking at Hebrews chapter 2. So go ahead and turn there. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll be looking at that in just a moment, but it's good to have the opportunity to be together and worship God on this first day of the week, as we do each week. It's good to be here, and I hope that our study will be beneficial to each of us tonight. Two young men were fishing above a low dam on a river near their hometown, and as they were concentrating on catching fish, they were unaware that they had begun to drift until they were not far from the water flowing over the dam. When they realized their situation, the current near the dam had become too powerful for them to keep their boat from going over. Below the dam, the water was dashing with strong force over great boulders and through crevices in the rocks. Caught by the swirling waters under the rocks, they never came to the surface. These young men were out one day fishing, not expecting anything but to catch fish. They were concentrating on catching the fish while their boat began to drift. And after days of extensive searching, the rescue teams finally, the divers found one body, and then after 2 or 3 days, the other. That's just a situation of not focusing and concentrating on really what is going on. The danger of drifting is not just the physical. It doesn't apply just to the physical realm, but also to the spiritual things in our lives. So tonight I want to ask a question of each of us, and myself included: are you drifting? In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 1, we read, "Therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard." I hope to help us answer that question tonight as we contemplate that, as it applies to all of us, perhaps. Would you know if you were drifting? So we want to look at some of the things that maybe can help us. And sadly, we may know of Christians that have drifted away, drifted toward the world, and it's certainly not uncommon. We each probably know someone that has drifted away from the Lord, and it is a sad thing. Not only sad, but very dangerous. It's really a disaster. So as we look at that, we think of maybe some things to know about drifting. As we consider that, drifting requires little effort. Really, basically, in the boating scenario, all you have to do is stop oaring, stop paddling. And then you begin to drift. And so as you're going down the stream, as these young men were concentrating on fishing, the boat began to travel perhaps slowly at first and began to drift. So it didn't require much effort for them. And the same is true for the Christian, which we are told there in verse 1, in verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore we must pay much closer attention. So the thought is that these young men were not paying close attention to what was going on around them and began to drift and wound up losing their lives because of that. It doesn't require a lot of effort to drift. It's an unconscious process. It's not something that we really have to give a lot of thought to. And it's possible to drift unaware. The boat, perhaps the top of the water looks smooth, but underneath there are undercurrents that may not be noticeable. And the same is true in the spiritual realm, that many Christians have slowly drifted away from God, from the faith. And not just Christian, but we may know of the churches, of groups of Christians that have gradually drifted into error. Finally, at one point, to find themselves far removed from what the New Testament church should be. Something else to know about drifting is that we never drift upstream. You will never find a boat just drifting upstream. When you think of the driftwood, what are the characteristics of driftwood? As you see driftwood that just floats along the stream, the driftwood really has no life. It is lifeless. It is aimless. And that is really the thought that comes to mind when you think about the driftwood. You never see driftwood going upstream. And it takes effort to go upstream, which would be the opposite of drifting. Faithfulness to the Lord is like oaring upstream or rowing upstream. It takes effort, and we must constantly be adding to our faith, as Scripture tells us so many times. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll look there in verse 18, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. And we read there, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We must continue to grow. It takes action on our part to keep from drifting. And perhaps in this case, as these young men, the boat slowly drifted, slowly began to pick up speed, and before they knew it, they were at a point of no return. And it happens, it seems to happen, as though as we move farther and farther away from the Lord, that we care less and less about what we do. And you may have seen people act that way, that as they move farther away from God, that they care less about their actions, about doing anything that pleases the Lord. Also, the drifting is dangerous to others. Not only are we endangered, but as the ship or the boat just drifts, and as it drifts, it continues to move into the path of maybe other vessels at sea, then it causes shipwrecks. So we see the danger, and not just in that situation, but you consider in our lives, maybe as parents, that parents may find themselves to be adrift, drifting away from the Lord. And if having children, then that there are opportunities that you're letting go by in encouraging and teaching your children. When you are adrift, you lose very precious opportunities to teach your children. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 talks about how that many are tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine. So it's dangerous. The drifting is dangerous not only to ourselves, but it's dangerous to others that may be around us. And you think about the driving, you know, on the highways, as we, you might find people, you might be riding behind someone, driving behind someone that is drifting. You see their vehicles moving side to side, drifting, and that's danger. That's not only a danger to them, but it's a danger to you. And just as I was looking at this, just getting some information about how that people are so distracted in their driving and they drift along in different different lanes and not paying attention to what they're doing, that the estimates are about 1.6 million crashes a year are caused by cell phones or texting. And I just thought that was an amazing, and that was a statistic 4 years ago. So you see the idea of drifting, not paying attention, not giving a focus as to what we are doing, not giving careful consideration in our lives as to the path that we're on, leads to danger not only to ourselves but to others. And then finally it ends in disaster, as these two young men lost their lives because of not being aware of what was going on in their surroundings. A boat adrift will run into the shore, run into the rocks. And as these men fell over the dam and were unable to upright their boat. So it is the same for those who drift spiritually through their own neglect. There will be no escape for the punishment that it talks of in Hebrews chapter 2 that we read about. So the danger of drifting is real. It's not something that we should just ignore and just take lightly, but it is something that is real, and that's one of the reasons that there was a warning there to the Hebrews in chapter 2. About it. So maybe as we look at some of the signs, what are some of the signs of drifting? So maybe you ask yourself the question, am I drifting? Am I one of those people? Am I guilty of that? Well, let's look at some of those things that perhaps are signs of that straying away. How about your desire to study God's word and pray? Is it diminishing? Is it less than it has been? Do you consider God's word to be the Bible to be a unique book in that it has such a great source of information? And without God's revelation, how would we know what our origin is, our purpose, and even our destiny? And it tells us about sin. It tells us about the dreadful consequences of sin, the dangers of sin, and how God has saved us from sin. Let's look in Psalm 1, the first psalm. It talks there about some of the direction that it provides, God's word provides. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So when we lose our desire for God's word or studying his word, then we should consider ourselves as drifting. And prayer as well. Prayer is a wonderful thing, a way that we have to communicate with our Creator. And Jesus, as we see his example of how he loved God and that he prayed often to his Father. And then in Luke chapter 18, we see an example there of Jesus was encouraging his disciples in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 regarding prayer. And he tells them there, he says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. When the Christian prays less and less, he's drifting more and more. What about your desire to be with God's people? Is it less? Are you giving your attention to being with people when you have the opportunity, being with in the worship service, attending the services when you have that opportunity, when there is an opportunity here? Are you taking advantage of it? Are you looking forward to it? And I think that's something that we see that certainly we need to do, as the psalmist said in 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. So anytime we have the opportunity to be together, to worship God, it's something we should look forward to. It's something we should prepare for, be ready for, and take advantage of that opportunity to encourage each other. Not only here as we assemble together, but take advantage of the opportunities to be together at other places. It's hard to build relationships when you're not together. So we must be together and take advantage of that opportunity to be together. Be concerned with edifying one another. The Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 3 about it should be a continual thing as we encourage each other. In chapter 3, Hebrews 3, verse 13, we read there, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So there is a reason that we want to encourage each other, and that is to keep our minds on the things that are important, to keep the temptations of sin, to be reminded of our focus. And that is one of the reasons that we want to encourage each other and to be with God's people. Do you have the desire to be with God's people more than you do with others? Do you find yourself spending more time with your, perhaps your friends at work? Maybe you have that work in common. Maybe you have an activity or a hobby in common that you spend more time with those people than you would as Christians. Well, that is a sign of drifting toward destruction, I would say. When a Christian prefers the companionship of others rather than the children of God. How about sharing the gospel? We begin this new week and we maybe perhaps think about what we have to do this week. Maybe we have some projects at work that need to be done. We have deadlines to meet this week and we have those things that we're going to be involved in. We may give thought to that. But are you thinking about someone that you want to share the gospel with? Are you thinking about someone that maybe you haven't talked to or spoken to before about God, that you want to take the special effort this week to do that? Well, I think that's one thing that should be on the forefront of our mind. But if you show little interest in sharing the gospel with others, then maybe that is a sign of your drifting. When as a Christian we have no longer have the desire to share the message of Christ with others, then we are drifting away from God. What about your concern of the things of the world? There are many things that become a distraction in our service to God. You know, we can get really excited about many things in this life, many things that we are involved in, worldly honors that might come our way, and we get really excited about those things. We get excited about vacations, things that we want to do in the future. And are the things of the world, those worldly honors, are they more important? Are those things more important than spiritual things? The Apostle John warns us in 1 John chapter 2. He talks about those things of the world. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So, are we more concerned about the worldly things? Are we more concerned about the worldly pleasures? Paul talked about that in 2 Timothy. Paul described some that were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And when we reach the point where we find more pleasure in worldly activity than meeting with others to worship God, then we're definitely drifting. What about the remedies? Remedies against drifting. Well, I think there's many things that we can do to prevent ourselves from that. It would be in the boat scenario would be to keep rowing. Once we stop, is when we start to drift. And this, spiritually speaking, this involves diligence on our part. Diligence is opposite from doing nothing, from leaving the oars in the boat and letting the boat drift. So it takes diligence on our part. Each one of us has to be diligent. It is a working, it is a growing, it is a picture of activity. It is never a picture of drifting. And look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. The older I get, many people will ask me, they ask me about retiring one day, ask me if I'm going to retire or if I'll retire or when I'll retire. And when I think about that picture, I can't comprehend what that is. Because Scripture doesn't talk about retiring. You don't hear the words retiring when you talk about the Christian life. It is though you work until you do not have that opportunity again. So the idea of keep on rowing is being active, being diligent in your own salvation. Working out that salvation, not doing nothing, which is neglect on our part. Not only that, but watch out for the undercurrents. As we talked about, the surface may look good, may look stable, may look steady, but underneath there are currents. There are things that are trying to pull us under, and those things remind us of the spiritual warfare. To acknowledge that is a daily thing that we're involved in and something that we should be concerned about. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter 2 verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. We need to be aware of the spiritual warfare that we're involved in daily. And do not be ignorant of that, but be aware of what's going on around us. and expect to paddle upstream. When you think of paddling upstream, you're working. You are being active in your life. You're not being ignoring the things that are going on around you. You're going against the tide, so to speak. And there are many tides that might sweep us away. So many things that they're out in the world, the popularity, peer pressure, so many things, the denominationalism, even in the church, within the church, the liberalism and maybe perhaps worldliness that finds itself sometimes in the church today. So it is for us to work, to put forth that effort against just doing nothing and being what we might term as being indifferent or having apathy or lack of interest or concern, especially regarding our salvation. If we drift along with the majority, then we will certainly be lost. And I think Scripture is clear about that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, we won't turn to there, but it talks about that, the destruction that comes to those that would drift along with the majority. And then also we must have the proper anchor, have strong anchorage. And Colossians chapter 2, we'll look there for just a moment. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6, beginning in verse 6. Colossians 2 and verse 6, beginning. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We must be grounded. We must have our minds anchored to the truth. And we must take hold or possess that hope, that unshakable hope that we read about in Hebrews chapter 6. And that's what we need to have in our lives, to have the proper or the strong anchorage that we need to keep us focused and keep us stable as Christians. So in conclusion, as we think about drifting, are you drifting? It's something for each of us to think about in our lives and ask ourselves the question, because the danger is real. Usually drifting is inadvertent. It's where we're not focusing and not giving thought to a matter. We're not being intentional. We're being unintentional in the way that we live. So God expects us to be intentional in the way that we live the Christian life, not sitting back as the driftwood, just going down as the river takes us, as the stream would take us down at the mercy of the tide or the current of the river. That is giving our lives to someone else when we are not being active and being intentional in the way that we live. The danger is real, and we would be really foolish to think otherwise if we do not think that it is dangerous in drifting away from God. Many, as we talked about earlier, many have drifted away from the Lord. Sadly, we see that. And we would be perhaps arrogant to think that it wouldn't happen to us or it couldn't happen to us. We are too strong. We have the proper anchor in our life. But it can happen, and that means that we should be daily active in our lives. The antidote is, as we read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, is paying close attention to what we've heard. Paying close attention as the brethren there were instructed. Are there signs of drifting in your life? Ask yourself that question. Honestly, ask yourself, is my desire to study God's Word and pray diminishing? Is my desire to be with God's people not what it has been in the past? Have I lost my desire to save those who are lost? Am I too much enamored by the things of the world? Are there signs of drifting in your life? We must be intentional in the way that we live. You may have heard the question, what must I do to be lost? Well, the answer is nothing. Just drift along, paying attention to other things. Tonight, are you a Christian? We ask, are you a Christian? I don't know what's going on here, Nick. Number 75. Okay. Tonight, are you a Christian? That's something to ask yourself as well if you're not. The salvation that Christ offers is indescribably great. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that. It is indescribably great. And what makes it so great is it's the one thing that every person needs more than anything else. It's salvation. Ask yourself the question, are you drifting? And if you are, make those changes in your life. Make the changes that you need to. You can change. You can encourage your brother to change as well. If we can help you tonight in any way, come as we stand and sing together.
Teach me.